For today's reading, we're starting in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1. Matthew 1, verse 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez, and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, and Zadok the father of Achim, and Achim the father of Eliud, and Eliud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Some of those names are almost tongue twisters, and I'm not sure that I pronounce all of them correctly. However, I think it's important that we read through genealogies such as this. It's too easy to think, well, I've read this before, or it's just a bunch of names, and we skip right through it and move on, and we just leave it as it is. The problem with that is that there's a reason for everything that's contained within the inspired Word of God. And if it was contained, then there's a reason that it's contained. And if we don't see the reason, then we're just not looking for the reason. It might take a little bit of work to consider it, but there is a reason for all of these names being mentioned. That is because in order to prove that Jesus was the Christ, his lineage had to be proven as well. Now, I want to point out something. There are five women that are mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. Each name holds, you know, just a little bit of controversy. For example, Tamar has children with her father-in-law by dressing as a prostitute, deceiving him, and then shaming him into acknowledging his deed. Rahab was a prostitute as well, and a non-Jew, though, as far as we can tell, she proselyted into the Jewish nation. Ruth was David's great-grandmother. She was another foreigner. Bathsheba is not even named. She's simply named as the wife of Uriah, highlighting the adultery of David. And Mary will deal with whispers of scandal herself as she becomes with child before she had known her betrothed. So even though these names include some measure of controversy, I think it's important to give some recognition that these women are mentioned. Sometimes people make the accusation against the Word of God that he doesn't care about women. The women have no special significance whatsoever. Well, if that was true, then there would be no mention of women in this genealogy. But the fact is, these are women that played an important role in the lineage of Christ. Matthew knew that all of this had to be recorded. Of course, he was inspired, but Matthew was writing to the Jews, and he knew all of this was going to be needed in order to prove who Jesus was. It wasn't enough to just say he's the Christ. He had to show that he fulfilled prophecy of being of the lineage of David. I like the way one writer put it. He said, Jesus comes from a bruised lineage. Well, there's those controversies that are in there, but there's a lot of sin in that family tree, isn't there? There's a lot of problems in that family tree. But that's humanity. Men and women sin. They make big mistakes. Mistakes that have repercussions that last a lifetime or even for generations. But it was not this lineage that was going to provide Jesus with a good name, if you will. It was who Jesus was that was going to provide himself with a good name, an honorable name, a name to be glorified because he was and is the Son of God. Not only that, he is the Word and he is the light of the world and he is our Savior. So even though the lineage of Jesus includes some foreigners, certainly sinners, perhaps we could even say some cautionary tales along the way, that doesn't change who Jesus is, and it didn't change the importance of that lineage that was traced back to David so that the prophecy would be fulfilled. I don't know what your family tree looks like. I'm not sure I completely know what my family tree looks like. Years ago, I went through Ancestry.com, and I spent a bunch of time during their free period to try to trace my family tree as far back as I could. And there were some interesting discoveries along the way, things that I didn't know. I don't know much of my family beyond my grandfather and a few stories that he told of great-grandpa Cole. There's just not much there. So to trace that was interesting, going back to Civil War and going back to Tennessee and then farther back to the East Coast. It was interesting, but once I got to a certain point in it, it got to the point that you didn't know if it was really true or not because some of them couldn't write, and so others filled in information for them. So you wondered, you know, what happened there, and you wondered what happened that made people leave one state and go to another state. My father came across a book that was written, and there were some Trammels mentioned in it. And we've discovered that there's two lines of Trammels. There was a line that came from Tennessee, which I was able to trace through Ancestry. And then there was another line that we're not sure where it branched off, but they ended up in Arkansas. And so one of those Trammels ended up being a horse rustler. And it was interesting to read about, but we don't know anything about this guy, whether we're truly related to him or not. But does that change who I am? Does that change who my father is? Does that change my sons in any way? No. Even if we are related, it doesn't make any difference, really. These little bruised parts of Jesus' family tree didn't change who he was. If anything, it shows the grace of God for those that would live in faith. We think about, for example, Rahab, who showed just that little bit of faith that ended up saving her and her family. We need to have faith. We need to have saving faith. We need to have faith that'll make us change the direction of our lives. And I suppose that's where I'll leave you with today, is to think about that and pray about that, that we'll have the faith that'll motivate us and enable us to change the direction of our lives when we need to. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.